The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, random reptoid, or chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story, share your experience. Because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night I talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining us, and I hope you had a great weekend. I had a fantastic weekend. I was over at the Witchy Weekend at St. Croix, and it was a fantastic turnout, wonderful people. I was very happy, actually, that I had a really good presentation, that people were very, very much into it. And it was a really nice day. And, you know, Emily, who put it on, she did a fantastic job with it. And online, she is known as Crunchy Soap. And apparently, I have been calling her Crunchy Soup online. And I was kind of like, as she very politely pointed out to me Saturday, that she is Crunchy Soap, not Crunchy Soup. And I was like, nah, I didn't call you that. And yes, I did, actually. I did call her that a number of times, and I apologize for that. I tell you, as I get older, I can't read as well. It's as simple as that. I also wanted to thank Philip Anthony. I was in earlier today in studio, and I was a guest on an upcoming episode of Downright Upright Show that is currently a podcast on AM 950, but I believe they're going to become a show at some point. It was a lot of fun. We talked all sorts of paranormal stuff, so that was really cool, and I really appreciate that. But let's get to the meat of the matter, okay? As a paranormal investigator and as somebody who has investigated all around the world, the number one question that I get quite a bit from people, especially around here in town, people are always like, I would love to do what you're doing. I'd love to go and investigate. I'd love to figure out where I can go, that I can maybe try to speak to spirit and whatnot. Where do you go? What should I do? I want to try this. I've never tried this before. Where is a place to go? And so today I'm going to give you an option. I'm going to give you a place, and we've been advertising it for a couple weeks now, and we're really excited about it. We're also excited to see that this location was focused on Fox 9 last week. They did a piece about it. It's very exciting, and we are so excited to have them with us tonight. I have on with me the owner of the Boyd House. I have on Miss Jill Shelley. How are you tonight?
Good. Thanks for having me, Greg.
Oh, gosh, my pleasure. Thank you very much. I'd like to invite all of our listeners to join into the conversation. We don't have phone lines I can answer because I'm the only one here. But if you have a question, put it into the comments. If you're watching on Facebook, Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken on Facebook. But also, if you've been to the Boyd House, tell us what you've enjoyed about it, what you liked about it, because I want to talk about what I really like about it. But Jill, why don't we just start off by just one simple question. Where on earth is Boyd, Minnesota?
Well, it's very, very small town. There's only about 170 people in it. It's a small town of Boyd, Minnesota, about 145 miles southwest of the Twin Cities. So some of the more common cities people know is like Granite Falls, mm-hmm. right outside of that. And we're about an hour south of Brookings, South Dakota.
And I've been there, and it's a beautiful location. It's a beautiful drive. And I just really want to, really say how much I enjoyed going out there. And the Boyd House itself is on the outside a very unassuming location. It's a nice looking house. It's in this small town, but there's more to it than that, isn't there, Jill?
Oh gosh, that's just the tip of the iceberg, really.
So what's going on there?
Oh boy, you can just all kinds of different activity that you can experience at the house. We've had anywhere from audible voices, EVPs captured, footsteps, doors open, close, people get touched, lots and lots of equipment interaction you get at the Boyd House. And some people have seen shadows. My husband's actually seen a figure of a woman standing on the stairwell. So it just kind of depends on the day, really.
What has put so much activity into that house?
Well, just a couple of things. Our theories are, so we do have a bit of history of one of the major families that lived in there back in 1912. That was the Eckhart family. And they lived in there. They both passed away in there, as well as two of their children passed away in there.
Okay.
So we do have quite a bit of evidence of, like, EVPs saying, you know, Fred's here, Fred's coming, that type of situation. So we do believe that the family is still there. And again, they both passed away in the home, and Minnie's funeral was held in the parlor for 3 days as well. So just because they were very well known in the community, that they owned their own dry goods store. So they had kind of fancy goods, everything that people needed. So then they, helped build the church. They were part of the school board, the fire department. And I think they just so happy to be in the home that's one of the reasons they stay there. And then we have, you know, a lot of tons of antiques. We've brought the house back to the 1900s era, so tons of antiques. We've purchased objects and dolls that are supposedly with spirit. Yeah, you know, I can't guarantee they are or not. Yeah. And then obviously I think just doing what we do, you know, bringing in that energy all the time with all the different activities and investigations that people do and how they do stuff.
Right. And it's a very nice location. You know, one of the things I really like about it, and if, like, you are somebody who has not investigated before, but you want to try, but you don't have equipment, I think one of the things I really found very charming about the Boyd House in Boyd, Minnesota, simply is that that you have some equipment for people to borrow when they're over there.
Yeah, we kind of did that just because, you know, we wanted people to come, you know, if you go to a place that, you know, you're not a normal paranormal investigator, we as investigators know you're going to be sitting around a lot of times going, okay, let's for something to go. Where, you know, people who come in who aren't investigators kind of feel like it's going to be like Hollywood, which we all know it's not going to be.
Yeah.
So having some type of equipment gives them something to kind of learn. They'll learn a little bit of information by it, mm-hmm. and then hopefully get some activity, you know, because, again, we know it's not going to be like Hollywood. But we did put, like, a little instruction book, kind of what it is, how it works, that kind of stuff. And it's really grown since you've been last as far as the equipment and stuff. We've actually had people donate equipment too. So we have a lot, just the real basics, you know, K2 motion detectors, but now we have a spirit box down there for people to use, voice recorders, just all kinds of different things, parabolic mics. So just kind of some fun stuff that people can have.
I like that. You know, one of the things that warmed my heart, and I know John, my friend John, who came down with me, he had a pizza pizzazz. That was really nice.
Yeah, you know, and then now, since you've been to, we really grow and we get a bunch of snacks and stuff too. My husband, you know, gives me a hard time about it too, because, you know, it's like we got, like, the little mini cookies and, you know, little chips and stuff like that, you know, and it's like people really like the snacks. So I always, you know, let him know that when people tell me that just so he knows that, yes, see, they do like it.
Well, and that's just it. It's like, it's not, I mean, and there's a lot of great locations out there, but what I really liked about this is that I felt really welcomed in there. Not, you know, I mean, obviously spirit as well, but, you know, you as the owner, you as the person who's putting it out there, you're going that extra mile to make me feel like, you know, that, you know, you're thinking ahead of, like, what would I want? And I think there were snacks when I was there, to be honest.
Okay, yeah, it's kind of grown. I keep finding more stuff to add to it. But, yeah, I think as myself being an investigator for well over 10 years, when before I purchased the Boyd House, I think just doing all our travels going around, and we were always wanting, like, hey, if I had my own place, what would we do? You know, what are the different kind of things that we would want? So that's kind of how we try to implement it into the Boyd House.
You know, and that's, I just think that's a really, really smart way to do it, because there is so many, you know, and especially, and what's nice about the Boyd House as well is that you don't need a hotel. You know, you're going out that distance, but you can stay in the house. When we went there, we, you know, we didn't stay in the beds or anything, because I mean, we just wouldn't, but we brought mattresses and stuff, and when it was time to sleep, we went down and we slept, and, but it was, it was really nice to be able to just do all that, and you know, and when we went, it was in February, so it was
kind of chilly. Yep.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was a cold trip, but it was. I mean, the house was very warm and welcoming, so that was very nice.
Yeah, we do have most people actually do spend with the cots and air mattresses and stuff, and we've actually had a few brave souls I've seen will actually put him up in the basement and sleep down there. And not for me, not because it's super spooky. For me, it's like, I don't want any spiders on me or anything like that.
No.
But I did actually, we did have one group, and I don't remember their name, but they were sleeping in the basement, just two of them. I think they were husband-wife team. And the one guy, I think it was about 4:30 in the morning, he woke up because he felt somebody doing like an army crawl across his air mattress, and he like jumped up and was just complete, like, he didn't see anybody, but he's like, you could just feel that. He said the elbows like one by one by one. Wow. Coming up on the bed. And you know, air mattresses are pretty, like, you can feel when things are going on.
Absolutely.
So he had that happen. So yeah, it was, I wish we would have caught that on film. That would have been a good one.
That would have been pretty awesome. But yeah, all the same, I mean, And what I love about it too is that there's so many different rooms that you can investigate with, and that they all seem to have like their own personalities as well.
Yeah, we kind of did that. Just kind of what I felt. I suppose we have the main master bedroom where Fred and Minnie were when they were a younger couple. As they got older, they moved down to where the piano room currently is. And then the library, which I call the library sitting room, I just kind of was in there kind of like getting the vibes of what to do. So we got that into that with some older books and painted it red. And then we did the wallpapering in the girls' bedroom, kind of brought it to that. And then the boys' bedroom was blue, so we kind of went with that. But yeah, just kind of anything that we kind of got a feel for is kind of where I kind of put my energies. And I don't know if they like maybe gave me ideas in my head sometimes. I don't know. But yeah, I think it seems to come together pretty well. They seem to be pretty pleased with it.
Yeah, they do. Now, what do you have, like a really like a memory that stands out of spirit activity when you've been there?
Oh, yeah, there's been lots of stuff. You know, I've been like tugged and, you know, I've heard audible voices and stuff, you know, so nothing like that. I guess maybe the first time I ever stayed there after I purchased it probably be like the most memorable. And when I was told by a psychic that there's an old man who likes to garden and he comes through the back door. And she said, the first night you stay there, you're going to encounter him. And later to come find out that Fred was an avid gardener and he came through the back door quite often. So that was kind of interesting that those kind of correlated. But as I was walking by the basement door, I kind of heard this loud bam, 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 like three super loud, yeah, like somebody was like all four fists pounding on the door. Of course, I jumped 100 feet. I'm just like, oh my God, because I wasn't expecting it, of course. And then I tried to debunk it because there is a flight of stairs that goes down, like three stairs, and then it goes to the outside. But those are two doors that are shut as well, and very little airflow coming through there. So I don't know. I feel like it was somebody just doing the 1, 2, 3. Right on that basement door. So that was like my first experience at the house.
Well, they're probably testing to see what you're made of, aren't they? It's like, she wants to buy this house. Let's see what we can give her. I mean, you know, you know, spirits are like that. They like to play.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They do. They do like to mess around. You know, I've had them knock it on the walls at like 7 o'clock in the morning, just super loud, like, bam, bam. And I'm like, it's so early. Don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not scary. It's annoying because we want to sleep in. Yeah. I mean, it's, that's great. I mean, I love that. And you also have, if I'm not mistaken, there's a piano in the living room, right?
Yes. Now that was, I don't know when that came into play. But we do occasionally get people, and I have actually once on a voice recorder, actually just caught like one note being played on the piano. And we've also gotten, like, we've put REM pods or other piece of equipment on the piano. It will go off.
That's cool. That's cool. I was hope that did not happen for me when I was there, but I was really hoping it would because, I mean, that to me is one of the ultimate pieces of paranormal activity by getting a piano to play. Even a note is incredible. Absolutely incredible. And, you know, we're going to be talking more about the Boyd House throughout this hour. And I just want to remind folks, if anything that we're not talking about here, you can go and check out at BoydHouse217.com. And there you can check out what's going at the Boyd House. You can also you can reserve on the site or see what's available on the site, Jill?
Yeah, it shows our most current calendar, and then what you do is just send us requests to make sure that is still available, and then once that is, we get you all lined up with finaling up your reservation.
And I take a look at it. We're going to be talking more about that. What I'm going to do though right now is we're going to go ahead, take our first break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Jill Shelley, the owner of the Boyd House. I want to find out what on earth made her decide to get a haunted location. We have so much more coming up. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And this weekend, as I've been all of October, I've been out and about. This weekend, I'm going to be over at Marie Shaw's Halloween Convention in Mariposa Dragonfly Psychic Healing Fair at the Marriott Minneapolis Airport Hotel. I'm going to be doing a presentation on Saturday with Char Savoy, who you may have heard on such programs as this one. And we're going to have a great time. It's going to be a lot of fun. Once again, this is October 21st and 22nd. It's going to be at the Minneapolis Airport Hotel, Marriott, that is. And you can go visit mariashaw.com for more information. We are having a great conversation with Jill Shelley. She is the owner of the Boyd House in Boyd, Minnesota. I mean, and one of the things too, I would recommend to people, and Jill, you let me know what the best way to go about it is, but if, you know, I would make a weekend of it, but even if it's, and when I say that, it doesn't necessarily mean Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, because I think a lot of those weekends are booked, but take some time off work and make it a bit of a destination and come out and stay a day or two, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Even on the weekdays, you know, who doesn't want to play a little, you know, get away, work a short work week, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and go out there and there's areas nearby to eat and a lot of fun stuff. And, you know, I just feel like, you know, everyone, there's so many people who tend to think paranormal investigations, Friday, Saturday nights, but every night you can do a paranormal investigation. So I just think, you know, it's wise to not worry about when it's busy and take some time and take a nice drive over to Boyd, Minnesota and check it out. Now, Jill, what on earth made you decide that I need to own a haunted house?
Well, you know, like I said, being an investigator and traveling around other well-known haunted locations kind of got me the idea of getting my own. Mainly because I kind of felt like, you know, you go to these places, you're there for your 6 to 10 hours. That's your one shot. That's all you got to try and, you know, get to communicate with these spirits. So I thought it'd be better having my own location where I could go multiple times, start a rapport with the spirits, and then also allow others to come and investigate. So then we can kind of collaborate on the different findings and evidence that we get to kind of piece the puzzle together.
That's nice. So how did you find the Boyd House? How did you get to like, this is where I'm going to have my location?
Well, actually I just kind of searched on the MLS. You know, my realtor knew what I was looking for. So I was the one just kind of setting things up. You know, we looked at multiple different locations, you know, just kind of searching my criteria, but mainly it was kind of, I wouldn't say that I'm psychic or anything, but I can kind of get that feel like I know. So, you know, when things are around me, a feel of things. When I came across the Boyd House, I just had that, I know this is the one kind of feel. that I got when I kind of took a look at it. And then we just set up a time to go look at it. And one of my investigators came down with me, Donna. And as we were just sitting there kind of waiting, we were just kind of sitting in the car. And she's like, "Oh, I kind of feel like somebody's staring at me from the attic window." I said, "I know. I had that feel too, that somebody's looking at me." And we went in the house. You could kind of feel like something was there, but kind of standing, but kind of standoffish. But we did get on the REM pod to go off in about 10 minutes after being there up in what's now the library. And then we did get a few things on the spirit box, like a woman was saying, "Who are you?" Which made sense because nobody had been in the house for a year and we're just now talking to them. So we just got a little bit of evidence on that. And then we just kind of took a leap of faith and, talked to previous owners that had different activity while they owned it and a couple of psychic mediums. And so we went forward and purchased the house, and it's been just been crazy ever since.
And how long have you owned it?
2018 is when I purchased it.
Okay. And did you think that the spirits guided you to buy it, or once you were on the property at least, that maybe that they kind of pulled you in, or nothing like that of the sort?
Oh, I don't know. I think there was just an attraction. Now, whether they pulled me in or not, maybe I just was going on feeling that energy, and then we built on that energy and that trust level with the spirits. I try to do what I can for them when I can, so if they ask for something via spirit box or EVP or whatever, I try to get it for them. I do buy them a lot of gifts, even when I'm
That's
at the
nice.
antique shops, I'm like, "Oh, this would be a great thing for Minnie." Like, I don't even think it's weird that I'm shopping for dead people.
No.
So it's like, I just try to do everything when I'm in there. I'll just, talk to them like I'm having a conversation, like you and I are having a conversation. One of my favorite EVPs I got, I was cleaning and I just kept rambling on and on. And, I was just like, "Hey, have you ever been to a wedding?" "I'm going to a wedding." I just kept talking and talking. So unfortunately, I kind of covered up some of the EVP, but it was an older lady and she said a bunch of stuff. But then when I kind of took a break from talking right after her sentence, I didn't break it up. She said, "I'm trying to sleep." So it's like, here's this. She's probably taking a nap and I'm trying to like do all this stuff. So that was like one of my favorite EVPs I've captured.
But don't you think that's fair? If they're pounding the walls at 7 a.m., you just, it's fair play. I mean,
Exactly. Yes, it is payback.
I mean, that's one of the things that I love about paranormal investigating for myself is the gifts, and being able to talk to spirit. Find out what they want. I mean, I've been to many locations where it's like, do you want anything? Asking the question, do you want anything? And through the spirit box, you might get pizza or something like that. And we've and for folks out there who want to do this sort of thing, if you're offering a gift, if you're offering something to spirit, you better follow through with it.
Right.
Don't be like, oh, they wanted whiskey. Oh, that's nice. Anyway, bye-bye. It's like, no, if you promise them whiskey, you pour them a little whiskey and leave it out as a tribute, they are greatly going to appreciate it. So I love hearing that you do that as well, Jill.
Oh yeah, I do. I love them guys. They're almost like family to me. Well, they kind of
Absolutely.
are. They are really. They are family to me. So it's like.
They totally are. And that's why I had wondered if they had reached out to you. But I mean, at the very least, now you've all become a great big family. When you took over the house, you said how long had it been vacant? Did you say a year?
About a year, yeah,
So it's
that
not too
nobody had been
bad.
living in it. Prior to that, I think the family lived there for about 30 years, and then, they've had owners in there. So the deed goes back to 1889, and the land was owned by the railroad at that time. And then, a few people lived here and there. The house was built in 1901, so they had a couple people in and out. Nothing normal that I saw, like any deaths or anything. So that when the Eckerts moved in 1912 is when I got the most information because they stayed there till 1958. And then I know we had another lady in the 1970s, and she passed away in the home as well. Again, just like a heart attack or stroke, so nothing traumatic. Just the one child that choked to death when I believe he was like two or
Oh
three.
no.
So that's probably the most tragic death on history that we can find. Doesn't mean that there wasn't other things that happened that nobody knows about.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of hidden history, isn't there, to these
Oh,
places.
I know. But if you could find it, because we get a lot of the same names, but they don't correlate it to my deed or anything I could find. So I don't even know why that spirit is particularly there, but we'll get We have a little boy, Luke, and he comes through a lot, and I don't know where he comes from, who he is, but he just seems to be there.
I see. Now, how much work did you have to do to the house to get it to where it is today?
Oh, a lot. It was an older home, and you know, if you were going to update it, but I made it look older now, so with the wallpaper and stuff. but yeah, I mean, we had quite a bit of work to do. Plus there was just the maintenance. Like, we had to put a new roof on it. There was some, you know, different things that had to get fixed, things that broke along the ways. So yeah, we kind of did pretty much everything to it.
Have you found anything in the house that is, of interest? And I don't mean like, you know, creepy crucifixes or anything, but just anything like of historic interest or anything, newspapers, bottles, anything like that?
No, I wish we could have. It was pretty well cleaned out, you know, when we took over. But if we ever knock a wall down, I'm sure we'll find something.
Absolutely.
You know, I wish there would have been something. The only thing we did kind of get back, there was a bench that used to belong to. Now, they weren't sure if it belonged to the Eckhart family or if it belonged to the Just family. But they do remember it sitting in the corner as you walk in through the front door. So that was original back to the house. And I do know that piece of furniture came from, I believe, Austria. So that is about the only thing we got back original from the house. So like I said, the city hall had it and they were going to get rid of it. So we purchased it back from them.
Have you done any sort of sweep outside with a metal detector?
I have not. I know my teammate Donna has been wanting to get down there and do that. So I'm sure there's probably just a ton of stuff in there.
It's interesting because that just came to me. And I don't mean like, oh, I just thought of it. I mean, it's been downloaded to me that you need to do that. And for anybody who is going out there and you heard me say that, do not do that. That is not your place to do that.
That's right.
This is Jill's house, not yours. And that's the thing about any sort of historical location, which is what the Boyd House is, as well as a haunted attraction, is that you do not take from such places. It is not yours to do so.
Correct.
So I got a question here from John Marsh. And John says, Marson. John says, do you have any recordings of the of EVPs available? He would love to hear them. And I think a lot of people would.
Yeah, we do actually. If you kind of scroll through the Boyd House Facebook page, they're kind of scattered around. Actually, if you go, the easiest way to probably see them at this point would be going to YouTube under my paranormal team, St. Croix Paranormal. And then we have all our videos there. So a lot of stuff on the Boyd House there, different EVPs, different evidence we captured. You can also YouTube just Boyd House, and there's other teams that have stuff out there as well.
I was going to say, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have done a lot of investigations and they put out their own videos and stuff as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You'll find, I got to search for it. I love seeing what other people get. That's like my, you know, favorite thing, you know, more than the evidence I capture. I really like to see what other people capture. So, not everybody sends me everything.
No.
So I do have to search and look sometimes. And then we do also have a guest book at the house. So a lot of times people will write, because not everybody puts everything out on YouTube or, you know, Facebook or the internet. So it just reading the book and stuff is just kind of fun to see what kind of other experiences people get at the house.
Absolutely. I was out there with John and Amber and Sadie, and we did read the guest book. One of the things we did enjoy doing was eating pizza out there. I have to say that pizza pizzazz is very helpful. You know, have you found any synchronicities between, say, your evidence that you picked up either yourself and your team and what other people are picking up as they are there as visitors?
I think like one of the things that has kind of been lately coming to attention is we supposedly have these cats, these ghost cats.
Aww.
That just kind of are around. So somebody started by telling me they thought they saw a white cat, And then another person started seeing another cat. And then we just kind of started doing a, we did like an Estes session.
Yeah.
And Teresa's really, really good at that. It's like she's a little beacon. We can have a half hour conversation with the spirit. But I just said, hey, is there a cat around here? And they're like, yep. And I'm like, well, what's its name? And they're like, Henry. And then I was like, well, what kind of cat it is? It's like, I don't know. It's just a cat. So it was just kind of a fun, but it was just kind of a little bit of variation, you know, that people have been, you know, seeing this cat or having cat-like activity and then having a spirit do an SSS and saying, yes, there is a cat. That's kind of fun to kind of put it together. And a lot of times, too, if somebody tells me or I see a video, you know, next time I go to the spirit, you know, to the house, I'll just tell the spirits like, oh, I saw what you did to Joe. That was pretty funny. You know, just kind of... kind of get a little rapport going that way too.
That's great. I actually, I had talked to somebody, a medium years ago, and I said, I wanted to, talk to one of my cats who had passed away. And they were like, yeah, no problem. And, I said, and so they tuned into the cat and I said, what did they say? And he literally came back. He said, meow. And I'm like, wow. Really? Thanks a lot. Oh well. I love pet animals. Let me try that again. I love pet spirits, okay? Pet animals, that's the best kind of pets I found over time. Keeping humans as pets doesn't really work all that well, but I've said too much. Anyway, as far as the Boyd House is concerned, do you have it where people, and I'm not saying this place is dark, because that's not what I'm trying to get at here, but do you have it where people don't stay the entire night because it may be a little bit too much for them?
I think when I first opened, I had a lady there. I think it was just her and her one other friend. They didn't make it through the night. They said it was the spookiest place they'd ever been. They just kind of left everything awry because they said they just basically ran out of the house just because the noises were freaking them out, you know, that kind of stuff. And I've had a few people get scratched. But for the most part, I think everything in the house is actually, you know, friendly. We don't have anything malevolent or anything like that.
No, you don't. And for what it's worth, I'm very attuned to spirit myself, so I think. And I do feel that being in the house, I felt nothing that was malevolent or nasty or anything like that. It all felt very good energy. I remember going upstairs and there's that main bedroom. And I remember that there was kind of an oppression feeling like we don't want you in this room. It went away for a while. And then the next morning I remember it was back. I don't know if John remembers that or not, but it was really interesting. And sometimes it kind of felt like a little bit like maybe they didn't want us there, not in a negative way, but sometimes spirits like to be left alone. They want rest as well, don't they?
Oh, yes, they certainly do. And we do get a lot of people say that, and I did too the first time I went to the house and even after I bought it, just that bedroom just had that kind of like, don't come in here.
Yeah.
I had that for quite a while. And now I think we're over it, at least with me and her and the family. You know, now I don't get that feeling, but I still think a lot of people still get that don't come in here feel quite a bit.
Because you're part of the exclusive club now that you're allowed.
That's right. I got the VIP pass.
As we continue our conversation with Jill Shelley, the owner of the Boyd House in Boyd, Minnesota, I suggest, especially in this spooky time of year, if you're looking to do an investigation, to definitely go check out the Boyd House, boydhouse217.com. Also, if you just look up, is it in Facebook, is it just the Boyd House or Haunted Boyd House?
Just Boyd House.
Boyd House on Facebook. Take a look on there as well. Plan your trip and get out there and have a great time out there because it's a lot of fun and it's a great place to do some investigations. What I'm going to do right now is let's take our next break. When we come back, the other things that we're going to be talking about with Jill, as well as more about the Boyd House, you're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. this Halloween. Visit and investigate one of the most haunted houses in Minnesota, the Boyd House, located in Boyd, Minnesota, just 2 hours southwest of the Twin Cities. Other people who have investigated the house heard audible, disembodied voices, seen shadows and apparitions, and so much more. Book your overnight investigation at BoydHouse217.com. No need for a hotel. You could stay in the house if you dare. And join me tomorrow on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken. We're going to have on the French Quarter medium Maria Shaw, as well as from Charvinity. And you may have also heard her on such programs as this one, Char Savoy, as we're going to be talking about the upcoming event, Psychic Fair and Halloween Convention. That's going to be this Saturday and Sunday over at the Marriott Minneapolis Airport Hotel. Go to www.mariashaw.com. for more information, but we're going to be talking about more than just the event. You know, when you get both Char and Maria together, there is going to be a fantastic conversation. Get your questions ready. It's going to be a great program, so definitely join us tomorrow. And actually, we have a really strong week with having Jill on tonight, and we have Maria and Char on tomorrow. We also have on Wednesday my friend Bill Evenson, who does the podcast called Frankenstein Minute. We're going to be talking about the old Universal Frankenstein films on Wednesday, and that's going to be a lot of fun. Thursday, as we've been talking about cats over at the Boyd House, we're talking to Rob Guttrow, who's a psychic medium, and we're going to be talking about pets in the afterlife. And then, of course, Friday, Casual Friday. It's a great week. Definitely join us for that. We are continuing our conversation with Jill Shelley, the owner of the Boyd House in Boyd, Minnesota. It's the time of year. Go out and get your book an investigation. I know so many of you out there who talk to me and are like, we want to try this. We always want to do this. We don't know where to go. We don't know where to start. Well, where to go? Go to the Boyd House. Take a nice trip. It's not that far from the Twin Cities at all. In my commercial, I say 2 hours, but it's actually a little bit less than that. They have the equipment there. They have the pizza pizzazz, and they have snacks. Jill, I don't know what more they can ask for, quite frankly.
Yeah, we try to make it accommodating for everyone. Like you said, just kind of make you feel like home.
Yeah, no, it's very nice. Now, if I may, there's some other news on the horizon, isn't there, in the world of Jill Shelley that is pretty exciting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, just dabble here, dabble there. We decided to move forward and purchase another haunted location. So this one's actually in Illinois, but it's a 1861 Masonic Lodge.
Wow. Wow. Well, you're clearly not going to expand upon that. But that sounds pretty amazing. And, you know, the thing is, it's like, Is this the start of the Jill Shelley paranormal location empire is like just two, and it's like a paranormal game of Monopoly, and you're kind of taking over the Midwest with chomping up more locations?
Yeah, that'd be fun if I could own more. I just don't have the time then to spread around. But I always did want to get a second one, a little bit bigger, and then this one just happened to fall into my lap.
It was a good, because I was going to ask, I mean, you don't live in Boyd, Minnesota, right?
I do not. I live in the Twin Cities.
Okay. And then Illinois. So, you're spreading your wings far and wide.
A little bit. Yes. I dream big.
That's great. Do you have a jet, like a paranormal jet that you use to go to these locations or?
No, we just drive, you know, it's a fun, it's an adventure. That's kind of why we do what we do. And I want to, you know, restore this building back to its original form of glory as well. So lots to do with this location, but we're hoping we'll get it up and open for everybody in May.
We drive like you normal humans. I think that's fantastic. First of all, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That is very exciting. You know, it's going to be cool to see. Oh, how that works, and I'm hoping to be able to get out there and investigate, because that's going to be a lot of fun. Have you run into anything in the location so far that is just like, yep, they're here, they're waiting?
Well, I've only been there twice. So the first time was on my walkthrough when we went to look at it originally. I did get a couple EVPs while I was there, no equipment nice. Interaction. Again, nobody's ever investigated it ever. So this is like all new to them. And plus it's been vacant for about 4 years. So now they don't really have a whole lot of energy. But I could feel at one point when I was running a spirit box that there definitely was something around me. And then we were just there this weekend doing a lot of cleaning. Again, we didn't get any equipment interaction, but I did hear stuff on the spirit box. I just haven't gone through it yet. And I'm still touching all the voice recorders that I had out. So I did capture a few things on that as well. So we're just kind of going through. But I did know we had some people over, and they were just kind of talking to us. And all of a sudden, I just had that intense that somebody was there. They were actually talking about a prior spirit that was there. They said that they knew somebody who had come in here at one time, and they saw somebody like on their hands and knees scrubbing the floor. They went in the kitchen and said, "Hey, who is scrubbing the floor out there?" And they're like, "There's nobody scrubbing the floor out there." They all walked back out there, and of course, nobody was there. So just kind of hearing that story from the first day, that's a really good sign to me. So it's just, I think it'll just take them a little time. It did with Boyd, too. It took probably about a month or so before we actually really started having some interaction. I think, you know, they don't know any what this stuff is. They're from the 18, 1900s. Yeah. It looks weird. This is weird that somebody's talking to them, trying to communicate with them now. So it does take a little bit of time, but I think once we get them rolling, it's going to be pretty active.
That is really cool. You said that you're hoping to get things up and running by May. So is that to believe that it's not a ton of work that needs to be put into that, or you're just all going to be that quick getting stuff done?
It's just going to be a lot of cleanup this time. We're going to start out really raw.
Sure.
So right now there's like no electric, anything, no running water. So we were just going to do like the porta potty thing. Eventually, as time goes by, you know, as
my house. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes. So that's the thing with the investigating too, is like a lot of people think you're just in it for the money, but actually all the money I get is going to get turned back into the lodge to bring it back to its former glory. So I can tell you it is not going to be a cheap venture, you know, with it's 4,000 square feet. So putting a brand new roof on that's not going to be cheap. We need all new windows, putting the electric back in, the plumbing, all that's going to take time. So we do appreciate everybody's support for coming out. And same with the Boyd House. All that money went back into the house as well. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, as far as us investigators go, I mean, I know that people like things like electricity, but going to a location that doesn't have electricity is actually pretty awesome for an investigator, because when stuff starts going off, you don't have to worry about, maybe we're nearby electricity or something. No, I was playing, actually, I teach a class with Char, a paranormal class, and we played some footage today of when I was at Villisca in 2014, and the K2s were running wild, and they were following our commands, and everyone's like, "Oh, that's really cool," and I said, "You know what's really interesting about that?" And they're like, "What?" And I said, "There's no electricity in the house." You know, so, I mean, I really like that. I know that you're probably put in electricity because it probably needs it, and you have to keep things heated in the winter and whatnot, but it is kind of nice to be able to investigate somewhere that doesn't have that as well.
Yeah, I think actually we did get a little bit of the EMF ropes. I put those out on the little stage where they would have held their meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still going through the footage, but they did blink twice.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, ooh, there you go. There's something. So
yeah. Those are you talking about those trip wires?
The trip wires.
God, those
yeah.
are nice. I love those.
Yeah, I kind of circled it around. My teammate Don actually found a podium at a thrift store, so that's perfect. So we put that up on I want to say altar, but I don't. It's not, but I, you know, that's maybe my religious background. I always say altar, but
I hear you.
It's the stage where they had, and so we put the podium up there and put a REM pod on top there and stuff. And then I took the EMF trip wires and kind of ran it around the podium. And so yeah, I'm just starting now. So it blipped at me twice, and it's like 8 p.m. So I got a ways to go.
It's really interesting. So being a Masonic lodge and the hierarchy that's going to exist in that location, we investigated in Rush City as an event. We did a Masonic lodge about a month ago. And we had our friend Danae, she brought her tripwires, and she had two of them. And we put it around the Masonic altar in the center. And I had permission to do so. In the back, they had a bunch of pictures of George Washington and paintings. Mm-hmm. Obviously not pictures. That would have been amazing. So I took one out. And, you know, this is something that I like to do when I investigate, is I like to see who I can bring forward. And I do use mediumship to do so. And I asked General Washington, which is odd. I just asked for General Washington. I didn't ask for President Washington. I said, General Washington, we would love to have a moment of your time. Could you please come through to us? We don't need a lot of your time. We just want to know if you're here or not, because Washington was such a big Mason. The tripwires went all off in unison. Some other lights went off, and then that was it. And we had a medium with us she's very good. And she just was like, her name's Lisa. And she's like, you got him. You didn't stay long, but you got him. And that was really cool.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I have been seeing a lot of, I like to look and see, like, what does a Masonic lodge look like on the inside? And I did see a lot of pictures with George Washington, so I will be on the hunt and look out for one of those.
You really should. You really, really should. Another Masonic story that I'll never forget, I was doing a web series back in 2015 that I was going around different parts of the country with my friend Nicole Hoppala, and we were at this location in Newport, Kentucky, not too far from Bobby Mackey's Music World, and we investigated there as well. But we're at this Masonic lodge that this guy has owned since the 60s, and I have this on camera. He is showing us around. He's walking us around. And he's just like showing us, yeah, that's where, you know, that I need to paint. And, you know, that we had to pull this out and whatever. And then he stops and he points at somewhere else. He goes, and yeah, that's where I killed a guy. And like, I'm sorry, what did you say? And he's like, yeah, no, I killed somebody. And I went to jail for it. And that's where it was, right there. And like, what do you do with that? I mean, what do you do with that? And so, yeah, I was, hopefully you don't have any moments like that in your lodge. And I don't mean the actual killing, but where someone is just like, oh yeah, that's where I felt something happening. But these things, these locations, they have so much history to them that what I'm so excited for you, Jill, is that you're at the beginning of it with this Masonic lodge. I mean, there's so much to uncover.
Oh yeah, my mind's just been racing and different thoughts and, you know, different things to do with it. So just a lot going on. It's all new. It's exciting. I got to get down, you know, get some more history, try to get some pictures from back in the day. So yeah, we're just looking forward to getting this new chapter going.
How do you find the time between two locations that are not necessarily close by each other?
Oh, I don't know. I make it work. And I still have to work a full-time job too. Because that doesn't all pay my bills. So.
It's funny how passion doesn't pay the bills, right?
Right. It would be better if it did. But yeah, I do it for, you know, like I said, it's just something I really enjoy doing, and I feel very strongly for it. I have a huge love for it. The people in the community are really good. So
there was when I mentioned that you're going to be on tonight, I had a number of people who are really excited that you're going to be on. You're very much loved in the community. And it's really fun to see that, especially as, you know, the community is rough. But it's nice when people are universally enjoying like what you're doing. Now, folks, once again, go check out BoydHouse217.com, BoydHouse217.com, however you want to say it, it's just 217. Check out what's going on there and reserve some time. If you have questions, Jill, how should they reach you if they have questions about the place?
Through the website would be your best bet. Otherwise, you can even just email us at theboydhouse217@yahoo.com or just find us on Facebook and shoot us a message there too. So we're pretty easy to find and get a hold of. We're happy to answer any questions you have.
And once again, the Facebook page is the Boyd House. Go there, like it, support. Once again, you know, folks, I always love, you know, AM 950 is always about local businesses. This is a local business. And if you want to be able to investigate a really haunted location, this is where you need to go. Once again, check out boydhouse217.com. Make your reservations, or if you have questions, reach out to Jill, who will be more than happy to answer them for you, right?
For sure.
That's awesome. Jill, thank you so much for being on tonight. It was a real pleasure to talk about it, and I'm really excited for the future for you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed talking with you and sharing all my experiences and my new adventures.
That is awesome, and we'll stay in touch for sure.
Perfect. Sounds great, Greg.
And tomorrow, join us. We're going to have Maria Shaw and Char Savoy on. Everyone, have a fantastic night.